From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's ass on Hunchavandy
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up? It is Wake Up War Chant. It is presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill in Tallahassee, Florida. CP. Tallybar.com is the website. You can check out the menu, put an online order, maybe even order a gift card for that special someone in your life. Maybe a Mother's Day gift. It's Wednesday. You know what that means? Lunch special. They have them every single day. But on Wednesdays, we have what amounts to pretty much what Corey Clark would call a Cuban. Pressed ham and Swiss sandwich. It's grilled, caramelized ham, top of melted Swiss. It's pressed, it's toasted. And you get some horsey sauce and pickles on the side. Corey, you endorse this sandwich, do you not?
It's very good. Yeah, absolutely. It like everything there. It doesn't have the pork, the mojo pork.
Good.
That I think makes Cuban a Cuban.
Good.
A Cuban. But man, it's really good. I'm telling you guys, it's really good. And you can't go wrong with the wings either. Mm. You can't go wrong with anything, Aslan. You know that.
You can't. That's correct. It's Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Check them out off Appalachia Parkway in the capital city of Tallahassee. WarChant.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source. If you're listening to us on YouTube, if you could hit that thumbs up, we certainly would appreciate it. Maybe even subscribe to the YouTube page as well as the website, warchant.com. Promo code WARCHANT30 gets you 30 free days of access. So by now, you probably, hopefully, have all seen the one-on-one interview with Corey Clark and head football coach Mike Norvell, which published on our YouTube page on Tuesday. If you're subscribed, you have known the exact millisecond it dropped. If you're listening to the podcast and you don't watch YouTube, go check out the video. But today's show is going to be playing the full entire unedited interview with Corey and Coach Mike Norvell. It lasted about 25 minutes, Corey. I think I whittled it down to about 16 on the video. Do a little pregame, postgame interview, if you will. It's the offseason. Now you want to try to do something cool for the people out there. What sort of came to your mind when we come into the offseason in terms of like trying to create something that's going to keep people entertaining and you thinking that maybe this would be something that folks would like to hear about?
Well, yeah, it kind of started last year when, you know, for the people that don't know, it was after the Louisville game where they had gotten down 31-7 or whatever and gave up 350 yards in the first half. And it just looked like the worst team in the country, quite frankly. They looked like, after what happened at Jacksonville State, to then get blown out by Wake Forest and then come back home against an average-ish Louisville team and give up 31 points and 360 yards and, you know, 25 minutes. They look like the worst team in the country. But after that halftime, I think they held Louisville in 89 or 79 total yards of offense the rest of the way. I wrote about this on the website, too. I think they got 3 first downs in the second half. And they came back and had a chance to tie it on the last drive of the game without Jordan Travis because he was hurt. So Mackenzie Milton was playing and not playing all that well. But still, they got a chance to go down and tie the game, and they didn't do it. But so my point was, you could see that second half, most of the Notre Dame game, the second half of the Notre Dame game, the second half of the Louisville game, you saw signs of a team kind of maturing a little bit, like maybe not getting blown off the field anyway. And even Wake Forest, they gave up 1 touchdown in the second half, never given up 20. So they had shown an ability to kind of respond, but losses are losses. Hmm. And at the end of the day, they were 0-4. He's trying to land this great recruiting class. He's trying to get portals to be interested in this program. So my question then was, kind of remains today, although I think there was enough seen over those last 2 months to realize, okay, this program is going in the right direction, was what are you selling to recruits? How do you get recruits to overlook the record to go spend the next 3 or 4 years of their life, or, you know, 6 months with the portal, who knows, the next 3 or 4 years of their lives at a place that's not winning games and is losing every week? And so that was the question that I framed and phrased to Norvell. We all remember the response. I think it was right at 5 minutes, staring at me the whole time, just straight, uninterrupted eye contact, 2 dudes just laying it all on the line. And as I explained, I think you'll hear it. I don't think it's in the video, but I think you'll hear it in this unedited version. It's me explaining what I normally do in press conferences, which is I transcribe mostly. Like I'll ask, you know, Ira will ask 8 or 9 questions. I'm not making fun of Ira. He has a lot of questions to ask because he has a lot of stories he's going to write, or we're going to write. And so he asks a lot of questions. They're always good. I'll ask a couple, but normally I'm just sitting there transcribing, trying to give our readers on the message board on the website, like point by point, note by note, line by line recaps of what Mike Norvell is saying during these press conferences. But that one I couldn't because he was looking right at me, and I didn't want to avert my eyes because that makes me look weak. Now, he wasn't mad at me necessarily, but he was fired up, man. He was emotional, and he was using my baby blue eyes, my beautiful blue eyes, as a conduit, as a window into the Florida State fan base, and he was staring right through these puppies, right to all of you, to tell you guys, like, you know, yeah, he's mad. Yeah, he's upset, but he wants guys that want to come help be a part of something and all that. So you guys all remember that answer. So I just thought, you know, I knew he wouldn't do it early around signing day, but I asked FSU maybe a couple of months ago, like, would he be – here's my idea. I want him, he and I – because it became like a pseudo-viral moment, and you don't get those from 0-4 coaches that often. But if you remember, Aslan, I know you might not, but people were wholeheartedly on board watching that video. You know what I mean? It got a lot of clicks on YouTube the first time we sent it out. People were really fired up that's who their coach was. They loved the answer. They loved how emotional and passionate he was. And it kind of bought him some goodwill, which at that time he was 3-10 as a head coach at Florida State. And you don't have a lot of goodwill there. But that answer kind of bought him some. So I wanted to know, like, in the moment, what he was thinking. Did he know he was knocking out of the park when he was giving the answer? Where did he think he was going with the answer? How did it end up where it ended up? All that stuff. So I just thought it would be cool if he would, because he's the most media-friendly coach in the country, if he'd sit down and do like a reaction video to he and I watching him answer that question. So I thought that would be entertaining. It'd be interesting and insightful. And I think I was right on all three, buddy.
Look at that. All right. Uninterrupted now, the full entire interview with Corey Clark and head football coach of Florida State University, Mike Norvell.
What's up, everyone? You know me. I'm Corey Clark. Let me introduce you to Florida State head coach Mike Norvell. We're going to talk about a moment that happened in late September, early October. We're coming off the Louisville game. It was the fourth straight loss. And we're going to watch what many people say was the turnaround of the season when I asked you that question, coach. I kind of turned the season around. But what I was trying to get to was to give some backdrop before we watch this. Was I just wanted to know, when you were talking to recruits after an 0-4 start, what the head coach of an 0-4 team is telling the guys that you're recruiting, the guys that are they're coming, the guy, you know, everybody that you're talking to. And the first time I asked it, I didn't ask it very well, and I think you thought I was talking about the players on the team, how to keep them bought in. And if you watch Florida State football, even in September, you're like, yeah, these guys are still, they're playing hard. They're not bought in. So I came back and was like, you know, not to belabor the point, but I was more asking about the guys you're talking to, the guys you're trying to get on board. And we're going to watch this together. We're going to watch you stare daggers at me. And I kind of want to talk you through, or you talk me through what you're thinking as we go on. So we'll start this right here and start watching.
Sorry, Mike, not to belabor the point, but back to the recruits. What message are you selling them? And can you sell them that this program is getting better even when the results on the field?
Oh, they watch, not to cut you off, but they watch the games too. They see the opportunities. They see the opportunity for themselves. They see the opportunity of and they have a belief in who they are. And that's what I want to be around. I want to be around guys that it's easy to look at a reason why to go in maybe an easier route of something that is established. I mean, there's been a lot of change around this program over the last few years, and that affects all. That affects everything. It affects recruiting. It affects, you know, the guys that have to come to work every single day. When there's change in the standard of operations, when there's change in how you do things, when there's change in what you're looking for, you know, the priorities of the individuals. Well, when those guys, when you lay out the vision of what you want, you live it out every day. And the best recruiters we have on this on here are the players.
Can you talk about that real quick? I've heard that a few times with coaches, but the best recruiters being the players.
Well, those are the guys that are going through it day in and day out. You know, they have the real life experience. Anybody can present a plan. They can give a speech. You know, you can go through and talk about expectations. But when you have to live it, when you have to go through the experiences, whether they're the challenging moments, whether they're the successful days. You know, you get to see what the reality is. You get to see growth. You get to feel growth. You get to understand belief, and just those foundational elements that we are building here.
Right.
The players are the ones that are they are the examples. And you sit there and you start 0-4. It's where nobody desires to be. Nobody envisions that as you go into a season. But when we were at that point, you look through the examples. You look at how the guys play. You look at the growth of what they are still fighting to be able to achieve. And those are those confident conversations,
right?
Because they are the ones that are going through it day in and day out. And when they help share the message, when they talk to these kids that are coming on campus that are asking, what is it really like?
Mm.
I mean, they are the greatest spokesmen that we have, because they have the day in and day out experience.
And the reason I thought I wanted to ask that question is because the second half of the Louisville game, it did feel like something kind of switched a little bit. Like, I think y'all had 8 or 9 straight stops and 3 and outs, like something that hadn't happened in years since maybe I went back and looked it up and wrote a story about it. But it did seem like something at halftime, because they had 31 points in the first half, 0 in the second half, never really came close to scoring in the second half. And I think that was kind of one of the bases of my questions, too, is like, if you are watching this team, it is getting better. Like, that second half was the best second half of Florida State defense had played in a while. And that was kind of where the question was coming from. So we'll go back to you. It's about to get a little rough, folks. Like, that was kind of soft. His eyes are soft. He's not really staring daggers at me, but it's coming.
The best recruiters we have on here are the players, because they're the ones that get to talk about what it is day in and day out, how our coaches care about the players, how our coaches invest, the focus on teaching fundamentals, the focus on putting playmakers in an opportunity to make plays. But we've got to go out there and we've got to do a better job in every one of those areas. But I'm looking for guys that want to be a part of that process too. The guys that want to be successful, guys that want to be challenged, guys that are willing to step up and step out and go do something that, they're going to have to defend. Well, why are you going, why there? Because it's the best dang fit for them. It's an opportunity where they're going to go get pushed, they're going to get developed, they're going to have an opportunity to play at one of the greatest places in the country, right, with a wonderful fan base that cares. And I mean, look, I'm pissed off that we're 0-4. Right, and we can bring up how many years it's been. I can't control that. I can control this team at this moment and right now with the opportunity.
So as you're going, are you getting like more and more, and I ask that because I've never been in that situation. I've asked all the questions. I'm never in a situation where I'm talking to people like that. Do you start answering the question and then you get a little more passionate?
It's what I believe.
Yeah.
And, it's what, we talked about the players earlier. Well, I mean, it's also our experiences.
Yeah.
And, that was a Monday. We had had a practice the day before. We had our Sunday. The way the guys had to respond, living through the second half of that game, seeing a response, seeing the belief, being in the locker room with them afterwards. I'm passionate about what I get the opportunity to do. I understand, the responsibility that I have. I'm grateful for who I get to represent and who I get to coach. And so when you're answering something that, this is family to me. This is, it's not just a job. It's not what I just show up and like to do.
Right.
I mean, this is, we pour everything we have into it. And, the experience is our experience. And we have to go through and work through some of those experiences that not always are great feelings, but, I know where we're going. And
right.
That it is, when you answer a question like that, I don't have that, rehearsed in my mind. It's at the moment,
right.
But that's my true beliefs. And, as you start talking about people that want to go through that process, I knew what we were coming into. I knew some of the challenges of building that foundation and, which I talked earlier about some of the changes and what that does to a program and what that does to the young men that have to live through that. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
And, for whatever, from when we first got here as a staff to some of the unforeseen circumstances that showed up, it's all about our process of what we're building. And in that moment, when you start 0-4 and you have unexpected events, whether it's the opening game of coming down to losing on the last play against
right.
Notre Dame, it was sad to say, there was, I mean, there was a lot of excitement about a close loss.
Mm.
And it was a disappointment because we didn't, you know, finish that game the way we wanted. You know, the next game, I mean, that's one of those things that will haunt you forever. I mean, just being real. Right. I mean, but, you know, there's still those experiences, even in that moment with doubt and, you know, outside and all those things. It's still about going and continuing to improve, continuing to believe. And then, you know, we have those next couple games where, you know, we go on the road, don't play very well, turn the ball, all of the things. And then, you know, that Louisville game, you're sitting there in the moment. Right, and you start off terribly. I mean, we're down 31-7. I mean, it was really bad. Going at halftime, and it wasn't. I didn't go throw chairs. I didn't tip something over. I believe in how we do things. I believe in the thing. But we have to go out there and the work, the investment, the time, all of that stuff. You still have to go put it. You have to go live it out.
Right.
You have to execute in the moment, and you know that's what. In the second half of that game, we started to see that come together. And you start seeing, like, I look down the sideline at the beginning of that second half, and you see a team that just wants to play one more. You want the next snap. You want the opportunity to respond. You want, and that's an exciting feeling. And that's where, for me, like, guys that want them, they see the challenge ahead. It's not easy. There's a lot of things in life that you can go and you know what, the path might be set and you can go through the experience and have a, you know, have whatever that brings for you.
Right.
Or you can go make a difference. You can go make an impact. You can be a part of something that people will talk about and remember because of the journey. And that's what this is.
And that belief, that sense of what you had in that team is that's bubbling over in this, right? It's all, and I don't mean bubbling over as in like out of control. I'm just saying that's what this is all based on. This is what that's all fuels this answer.
That's heart and experience and what I believe.
Right. And you were pissed off.
And I was pissed off.
And so we're going to work our butts off to go get better. And we're going to do it the right way. And we're going to have a standard of how we operate. It's going to be the same standard that we're going to ask them to do in a classroom, the same standard of everything that we do. I'm going to hold myself to it because I got to be the example. And you know what? Does that mean I'm not going to make a mistake? I'll probably make a mistake. Might make one today, might make one tomorrow. But I will respond to that. And so that's the team I want because I've seen it work. I've been a part of teams that, you know what, they've been on a losing streak. They didn't get caught up with all the crap that was on the outside and everybody telling you what you can't do and, oh, this is the issue and that's it. Yeah, it's easy to point at that. But who wants to be a part of the solution? So those are the guys we're going after. And, you know, there's some kids that, man, this program over here, they're well established. They've got, you know, they've got this, they've got that. And you know what? Probably had a lot of continuity. It's probably been, you know, some things that have been in place there for a time. So even when the adversity strikes, there's a quick response to it. We're going through that process. We're setting the foundation. We're doing it the right way. And so I'm excited about the guys that we're recruiting because I'm excited about the guys that say yes. And then when adversity strikes and, oh, man, you've lost a couple of games. Are you still – is that still what you want to do? Ones that stand up, step out. And those are the guys that you can guarantee are going to be a part of the change in a positive way.
So I don't know if you noticed this, but when I'm at with these press conferences, I'll ask one or two questions. Like, you know, we know Ira's going to ask 10. Y'all are going to have a fireside chat. It's basically you and him just having a conversation. But sometimes I'll sprinkle in questions. Mostly I'm writing down your answers. I'm transcribing your answers for the people on our message boards and our website so they can know in real time what you're saying. I'm trying to. I'm not the best typist, but I try. So I asked that question thinking, okay, he's going to answer it. And as he's looking around, I'll start typing down his answer. Well, you were looking at me the whole time. And so I can't like look away. That would have been crazy. I didn't want you to think I was like, Kel, he's talking. So I was going to cower and start typing. So me and you just stared at each other for, I guess, what is this, almost 5 minutes. And it's probably the longest uninterrupted eye contact I've had with a person other than my ex-wife and my current girlfriend. But it was like I couldn't look away because I wanted to give you the respect of knowing that you were, I know you weren't talking to me, but you were looking at me. So I had to look back. But so when that was over, I just put, usually I'll type almost every word you say in an answer. And for that one, I'm like, yeah, ask Norvell about recruiting. You guys just need to go watch the video. I can't tell you what he said. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't recap it all. It was impossible to recap something like that.
And we have those guys here. I have those guys in that locker room right now. Because it's really easy when it's 31-7. Right? Which, you know, you feel it. Like, it. I mean, if I was a fan, I'd be pissed off. 31-7. Right? Some of them stayed. Some of them didn't. But the ones that did got to see a team that came back and responded, right, and played their butts off.
Did you have any of this planned? Did you know a question like that, if a question like that came, that's all off the dome, just off the cuff?
Like I said, that's what I believe. I mean, it's what I believe. It's what I know. And that's where, you know, I talk to our team all the time, is your truest identity, right, is what shows up when you have to respond. And when it's all going good, it's easy to put a smile on your face. It's easy to have right. have a cookie cutter response. This is, I mean, I'm pissed in this moment.
Right.
Right. But I also, I'm angry for what I know. I'm angry for these kids. I'm angry for the work, that all the things that are going. And it, you know, it hadn't, you know, we didn't reap the benefits of a lot of the early investments. But that doesn't mean you lose confidence.
Right.
Now, I have confidence in the work. I have confidence in what I see. I have confidence in the response. You know, it won't matter. People, you know, you acknowledge the second half and the way guys responded. I lived through that. And, you know, I'm glad that there is that you see it. And you talk about, what are you looking for in recruits? What do you tell recruits? And we had kids on official visit for this game. And throughout this entire process, I had to go, I mean, I would tell kids, like, I'm not guaranteeing a fairy tale. I know some of the things. I mean, we're one of the youngest teams in college football. There are going to be some experiences that we're going to have to live through. I go, but you watch them play. You watch them respond. You watch the effort. You watch the belief. You watch how they are on the sideline. I mean, that's what when that shows up right,
yeah,
I know what's coming. Because as we continue to grow and we continue to develop, the response is going to be what sets these guys apart.
Right.
And you talk about, and to be all in all honesty, that's what had been missing.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't put that on a kid. I don't put that necessarily on a coach. I don't put, it is when there's not the continuity, when there's not that the standard of what you're going to do, where that doesn't stay consistent, when kids don't really, when they don't get to see that, you know, I mentioned, you know, I have to be the example. I have to show them. I stood in front of our coaches after this game. I said, now we get to go be the example for how we want them to respond. It's the first time in my life. Right. I've been involved in football 35 years, player, coach. I've been a part of 3 losing seasons in my life, and 2 of them are here at Florida State.
Right, right.
First time in my life I've ever been 0-4. But how I respond, right, the belief that I can speak into them, the example that I can try to be in all those situations, I didn't envision, you know, some of those results.
Right.
But we were there. It happened. So where do you go from that? And, you know, it's the same thing in recruiting. Like, I mean, there's plenty of programs that can sit there and, well, I mean, that's look at where they are. Oh, I know where we are. I know where we're going because of the work, because of the investment, because of the belief in the process of growth. And I didn't know. I'm saying this answer not knowing what the next day looks like.
Yeah, yeah. And let's finish it up, because I did want to talk about that as we close out here.
No, were we successful? No, it was a failure. We did not win that game, and that's what we came out. I felt very confident in it. I felt that we were going to put ourselves in a great position. But you know what? We came up short. But they did not stop. They continued to believe. And it's for the guys that we recruit, for the coaches that are on the staff, for the players that are on this team, that's what I want. Because if you have that, then you might get your butt knocked down, but you're going to get up and you're going to respond the right way. Yes, we are 0-4, but we have today. And then, Lord willing, wake up tomorrow, we'll have tomorrow. And what we do with that, man, I've got a lot of confidence in.
All right, thank you, Coach.
You don't want another question.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
So when you left, everybody in the room turned and looked at me. It was like, way to go, Corey. Like, making fun of me that I made you mad. And I'm like, I don't think he was mad. I don't think the question was that. It was just, it was about recruiting. And then you know, I didn't explain this at the time. You've explained it, but you got you know, you got passionate about what you were talking about and where this program was. And I wanted to know after that moment, as you're walking the hallway back up to the office, I mean, the thing went viral. Like, I think you guys even tweeted it out, like your response, and the football Twitter account was like, this is our coach. Did you know, like, man, I kind of knocked the shit out of that. That was a really good answer. You thinking? I mean, I know you've got more concerns than a press conference on a Monday, but did you hear about it? Did you know about it? You know the response to it?
I mean, I had plenty of people that reached out to comment or sent something to me about it. And
You thank me at all when you were talking about it? Like, I mean, look, Corey Clark just asked a great question.
I thought our eye contact. I'm in great company, I guess, with what you say. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's I try to be as genuine and real in those moments of just what I felt. And it's, you know, you asked a question that, you know, that is our reality. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, when you're in, there's no coach speak, there's no none of that in that time. I mean, just that's the daily belief. Right. If you sit there and you ask our players what shows up at 7 o'clock in the morning for a Tuesday practice, it's that.
Yeah.
When you go out to work, I mean, that's, you know, you asked a question that did. It got me excited about the opportunity to express what we are looking for, what we are, and it also to express the belief that I had in our guys.
Well, and also you weren't talking to me necessarily. I mean, I know you were, but you're talking to the fans. You know who watches this, and I felt like at the time you're kind of using me, like you always, like these are always answers for the fans, but I felt like you were kind of talking to the fans too, like, no. Stay with this process.
You know, anything that you say is an opportunity to express, you know, who you are, where you are, what what's next. And, you know, I had no clue what was coming. You know, I knew the work, I knew the continued belief that I had in our process. And I, like I said, I mean, I saw it in our kids. And when you have that, I mean, those guys never stopped, they never let up, they continue to work and believe. I had great confidence in them, and I still do in what we're building. And so you provided an opportunity with a question that needed a response.
Yeah.
Because if there's not a response there, if I can't answer that question, like, was it prepared? No, I had no clue what was going to be asked that day. But, you know, that if I don't have that, if the leader of this program doesn't have that, then where's it going?
Right. And then, you know, after that, for wrapping it up, you guys went 5-3 after going 0-4. Your three losses were to NC State without your starting quarterback, at Clemson essentially by a field goal, at Florida by a field goal. You won all the rest. Obviously, if that hadn't happened, if that turnaround hadn't happened, I wouldn't be sitting here. We wouldn't probably be celebrating this. But it did seem like that moment, and I know it wasn't that moment. It's all the work y'all put in every day of practice. But after that, that week is when really the second half of the Louisville game, it seemed like it flipped. And then you guys were a good team the last 8 weeks of the season.
Well, you look at the next game. We play Syracuse, and in that Syracuse game, we got up.
Yes.
And even in that game, muff a punt. Yeah. We have some negative plays, missed a tackle, give up
that
a couple
crazy
explosives.
Right?
I mean, all of those those things still showed up. And even in the moment, we still needed a defensive stop. We needed a two-minute drive by the offense. And then we had to have a game-winning field goal.
Right.
So all three phases had to show up. And I would have much rather of us just to finish, you know,
sure,
where we were and not have some of those mistakes that showed up that allowed us to, like I say this, sometimes you literally have to go through what you need to prove you can get through. And it had been a long time, and we'd been in close games. We had seen that already in the first part of the season. But we weren't able to overcome some of those negatives. We weren't able to overcome and finish what, you know, where we were. And we did in the next game. And then it set up for the following game, you know, going on the road to play, you know, in a place we had not played very well on the road, and all those things. And it's just, those are the building blocks. And you saw confidence that showed up within our team. Now, were we a finished product? Was it a fairy tale? Did we win out? No. And there's still lessons that have been learned through that. But to point to a moment, you know, I'm for any player that saw that, for any recruit that saw it, and you know where it points to the response, I do think that speaks to where this team is in the moment, but also talks to where this team is going.
Right.
And that is what our guys point to. That's where you go into an off season and you embrace more work. You embrace, because I do believe the response came from our first off season. Like this past year was, I mean, the first time we went through a winter program, spring practice, summer program. And so why were they still confident in 0-4? Because they knew the work. They knew what they had put in. Now, we had not done a good job of executing and finishing and applying that for the course of a game. But the response was there because of what had gone through that offseason leading up to it.
Right.
Now, going into this year, now there's a better sense of confidence of what that is there for.
Right.
And, you know, I think that it sparks to a question. You asked a great question.
Hey, thanks, buddy. And I'm just happy to be a part of the turnaround.
There you go. Well, we appreciate you.
You got it. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, Corey, you know, I did want to ask you, but you went ahead and answered it kind of, you know, whether or not you thought that Norvell would go ahead. I was surprised that it happened, man. Like, I was really surprised that he was like, yeah, I'll do it. Because he says it in the video that, like, it wasn't a happy ending. Like, it wasn't a storybook ending. You know, they lose the last game of the season. They miss out on a bowl. But, again, you know, he talked about how this kind of showed the significance of everything. Was there any kind of part of the video that, you know, I don't know, it was eye-opening or maybe stood out to you the most in terms of, like, his response to a question or just maybe one of his sort of philosophical points he was trying to make during the course of the interview?
Well, I don't think any of that was necessarily surprising. You know, I thought the answer itself was very illuminating, just about how he, you know, he had, you know, they were selling playing time to recruits. But he did say, you know, he saw that Sunday before I asked the question. The reason he said, because you guys, I think, know this, but they practice on Sunday. Florida State does after a Saturday game, obviously, and then they take that Monday off. So he had seen on Sunday their response, and he liked what he saw just from being 0-4. So he was not ready for that question. He wasn't sure it was going to be asked. It's not like he clearly didn't have like a pat answer for that being asked. But I just think the fact that he just kind of went off the cuff on a question like that, because he believes in what he's doing and he believed in the response. He talked about how even on that sideline on Saturday, after how bad it was in the first half, he's like, I didn't go in the locker room and yell and scream and throw things. But they came out in the second half and he saw what he wanted to see on the sideline. He didn't see what he wanted to see on the scoreboard, but he saw what he wanted to see on the sideline. And look, man, that team was 0-4. With a blowout loss to Jacksonville State, a blowout loss at Wake Forest, and got down 31-7 in the next game with a quarter. They didn't know who their quarterback was because Jordan Travis was still banged up. And for them to go from that moment to winning 5 of the next 7, literally, Aslan, we were sitting there thinking, what are they, a 2-10 team?
Yeah.
At halftime of that game against Louisville, I thought they were going to go 1-11.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not? The defense was abysmal. It was a joke. It was giving up long play after long play and dudes just running free. The offense had not found itself and would not find itself until Jordan Travis took over. And even then, it was always a work in progress. I'm like, man, we might be covering the worst Florida State team of all time. And relative to what it should be, for sure. I thought they were going to go 1-11. For them to go 5-2 over their next seven, with one of those losses, a three-point loss at Clemson, where they had the lead with 4 minutes to go at Clemson, and then another one where they they didn't have Jordan Travis, and they at least stayed on the field with NC State. I thought that showed real growth. Now, the season didn't end the way we wanted it to end, and they wanted it to end, but I thought that week, if this thing turns around, like legitimately turns around, and this becomes a perennial 9-win team with occasional 11 wins in there, Mike Norvell's here for 10 years and everybody loves him and they name streets after him, I think that week is pivotal, right? Because if it had kept going down the way it was going, if that second half against Louisville hadn't happened, and then the next week they beat Syracuse on a last second field goal, then they go up and have their best game of the season at North Carolina, but if that week if that thing didn't turn around, I don't know. If that second half of Louisville didn't happen, I don't know what this team was last year. I certainly don't know how we're talking about it this year. I can guarantee you we wouldn't be talking about perhaps 8 wins in bowl games, because I thought they were on the path to be 1-11. And for them to turn it around like they did and show that response that he talks about all the time and he talked about in that video, is encouraging. We're not there yet. But I certainly feel like this program was in a better place, even walking out of that stadium in Gainesville, than it was at halftime of that Louisville game, man. It was night and day how hard those players played, how consistent they were. Just the defense became, worlds better. All that happened through the course of a season, and it was cool to, like, I don't want to say I was the catalyst, Aslan. I wasn't the spark.
Oh, you've been saying it like, you go ahead, say it. You're really taking it. Sure. There's sure. Nobody more invested in Mike Norvell's success at the sport, it feels
I hope people understand that I'm being tongue-in-cheek there. But that week was a big week. Out and beating Syracuse and then even pointed that out. He's like, even that next week, we muffed a punt when we had a 10-point lead. We throw that crazy interception. And all that stuff that happened, they still got the stop, and then they still got the score to go win the game. I think all that portends to what we hope is a program that's upwardly mobile, because it was not there. It was downwardly just immobile. Well, no,
trending.
I was mobile.
Downwardly trending.
Yeah, it was downwardly mobile. And it was just gross to watch. And those last eight weeks, that was a real football team we watched. And it was cool. It was cool to see that. Been a lot cooler. And I'll be honest with you, man, when I was thinking about doing this video, the big reason was, man, say they win 4 games, but then they land Travis Hunter and they have a number 8 recruiting class in the country, a number 7. This will look great because it's about the recruiting.
Yeah.
Now, the recruiting didn't come through like we thought it would because he's over at Jackson State. But when you count the recruits they brought in, which seems like a pretty solid class from what we saw in the spring, we'll all see when they actually play games, and then the transfer class they brought in and are probably continuing to bring in, I think that message resonated. I think it did resonate with recruits, and now you're going to have, a checkbook with commas and zeros.
Yeah, so for me, being able to film it and be there with that,
I wanted to give you a shout out though real quick, because Stephanie, as we were recording this, she had just watched the video and she's like, babe, that was so good, that was awesome. And I said, well, she needs to text you because you're the one that worked on it the most. I just sat there and goofed and talked to Norvell for 20 minutes. Aslan was doing everything else, set up all the cameras, then edited everything. So Aslan deserves his shout out as
fine.
Well,
it's thank you. But no, I just, there was the moment where he was watching, he's watching Corey play the entire thing in bits for him. You've already heard all of it. But when there's a moment in the answer where his voice kind of cracks, where he talks, he kind of almost got a little bit vulnerable in the answer about during the press conference about how close they were to almost like coming back in that game. And he thought they were going to somehow find a way to win the game and they didn't. And his voice kind of cracked in the response. And it's the only part in that video where I just do, it's just simply a side by side. The entire thing has got Corey and Norvell, and then an ISO on Norvell, and then Norvell actually speaking at the podium. But in this one part of the video, is just simply Norvell, just a close-up of him, and then him speaking in that press conference. And he kind of winces. Like, he that pain, like, came back to him in that moment. And again, like, that's why I'm like, there's no, I was really surprised when they agreed to do it, and shout out to him for doing, because, you know, I'm just like, why would you want to relive this? But again, I think it speaks to just how confident he is that they are moving in the right direction. And then the other thing, and you kind of mentioned it too, because it's obviously really about recruiting. The crux of the question was, and Michael Langston would talk about it in recruiting chats about, listen, man, he's not selling recruits rainbows and lollipops and unicorns. He's telling them, like, it's going to be difficult. It's going to take time. And he mentioned that in the response to you. So I guess my last question kind of to you, and I asked Jeff this on the Sunday Smash. He could get a, I don't want to say get away with it, but he could use that sort of pitch, that sort of motto and credo, I think, with last year's class, obviously, because they were going through what they were going through. I don't see any way they start off 0-4 again. But if they're, you know, if they're 4-4 at some point in October, and the recruiting maybe isn't going as great, can he still do that? Do you think he still has, not the equity with fans, but the equity in recruiting circles, where he can be like, listen, it's not going to be easy, but I want guys that want to come here and embrace something difficult and leave something lasting and special.
He would still be somewhat new to a program, but yeah, you can't sell that forever. You can't sell potential and hope forever. At some point, and this is probably the year, quite honestly, maybe it lapses into one more year or leaks into one more year because of what he had to deal with when he first started at Florida State. But you can't keep selling just hope. You got to sell, or promises. You got to sell, actual things that have happened. You've got to sell reality. And I think that's what this season is that he can point his hope, obviously, and we all hope it's a reality, is that this season becomes an 8 or 9 win team. And he's like, see how much better we are? Think about where we were 2 years ago. Think about that Jacksonville State game. That was another part of Jacksonville State where he said that game's going to haunt us forever. You remember that in the video?
Right.
It's like, yeah, buddy, it's haunting all of us.
Yeah.
We're all there. We're all living that nightmare with you. I thought that was a nice little insight into, like, you know, I know he tried to flush it and wanted to move on, but that's never going away. Even if they win championships here, that loss is never going to be too far out of his brain. But I think at some point you can't just keep selling hope and we're on the rise. You've got to get to where you want to go, and then you're selling that too. Like, look what we are. Look where we can do for you. Yeah. And I think that's a really big selling point as well. And look, man, Jermaine Johnson was a big deal when you're talking about what you can sell to transfers. I think even though he wasn't drafted, Keir Thomas was a big deal because of what he did for you. Like, he started every game he was available, had a really good season, showed you can come to Florida State and play a lot and play well. And it's not like he probably would have been drafted. If he was at South Carolina, he had his best year of his career. Jermaine Johnson and Keir Thomas both had the best years of their careers, and they had played a lot of college football last year at Florida State. So did Jamie Robinson, and Jamie Robinson had some nice years. So that is something you can sell, but you also have to sell wins. You have to sell wins now. Yeah. That I think, you know, look, if they go 7-5, yeah, you can still make the argument you're upwardly mobile. And it all depends, like we talk about all the time, how it looks, who those losses are to, all that stuff. They could just be incredibly unlucky. But, yes, at some point, that ends. The point about you can come here and build something, you can come here and make a difference, that has to end, and it has to be more like you can come and sustain something.
Yeah.
And let's hope we get to that point where they're recruiting players to sustain excellence. So anyway, folks, go. I know you listened to it. Go watch the video. Aslan did a great job with it, really did a great job and worked really hard on it, a lot harder than I did. I also wrote a story about it and how it came to be and the genesis of the idea and getting Norvell. I mean, that's not normal, right, to get a head coach to just sit down with you for 25 minutes to do anything, whether it's watching him in an interview or watching game film, whatever it is. That's how media-friendly the guy is. It also helped that it was late April when that happened, so he didn't have a ton going on. But yeah,
he was
also
going to Vegas.
He was leaving for Vegas the next morning to go watch Jermaine Johnson get drafted, and he did first round. That was awesome. I was worried there for a second, like, man, did he fly all the way out there? Because I think Norvell's plan was to leave Friday morning, mm-hmm. and it's like, is he gonna leave even if his guy isn't drafted yet, or is he gonna stick around in Vegas for another night? And what does Norvell want?
Then I would be like, maybe he really is unlucky. Then, you know?
Yes, yeah. So anyway, but I also wanted to say, when it comes to the transfer portal, I didn't know this either, and I should have. We all should have. So we all know May 1st was the deadline, right?
Correct.
But then if you've been on Twitter the last couple of days, you've seen the portal filling with everyone, including the kid from Pitt, Jordan Addison, who finally put his name finally appeared in the portal on Tuesday. But what had to happen was you had to notify your school by 11:59 May 1st.
Right.
That your name didn't have to officially be in the portal. You had to just notify your school by May 1st, and then they had 48 hours. The schools had 48 hours to put your name in, to process and put your name in the portal. So by today, by the time you're listening to this, everybody that can be in the portal will be in the portal. But if you were wondering, like, hey, I thought May 1st was the deadline. It was, but there was the processing part that let it drag on for a couple more days. So the actual, by Wednesday, by the time you're listening to this, whoever is in the portal for good. Nobody else can get in the portal.
Over under 1.5 guys from Florida State end up having their name thrown in there and they exit the program. I haven't done the math, but there was guys that we would talk about off the record, off the air about. So I don't want to do one because then you'll be like push.
I mean, I feel like Florida State is kind of
they got everybody.
They're pretty
gone.
Quick. I mean, they're pretty quick about processing it when a kid's not on the roster anymore. He's in the portal really quickly. Yeah, I would say, I guess I would say under at this point. Okay. Like Ira's story that he wrote a week or two ago about the numbers they're at. I think if they lose one more, that would put them at 81, 82, somewhere in there. Yeah. So they still have at least two or three spots to fill that they can fill. So I would say if they're not in by now, I'm not sure what they'd be waiting on. So I would say maybe one.
And, hey, baseball played last night, and they lost to Stetson, 6-0, a day after breaking back into the top 25 of every major collegiate baseball poll. Florida State falls to 26-16 after that 6-2-0 loss rather to Stetson. Stetson now only two games under 500. Florida State had more errors than hits. Three-run homer in the bottom of the second kind of started the whole onslaught, if you will, for Stetson. Ross Dunn started but couldn't even make it through two full innings. Connor Whitaker stepped into the game in the fourth inning with the bases loaded and no outs. He did surrender a walk, but otherwise not a lot of damage. A two-out RBI triple in the fifth made it 5-0. Stetson wins 6-0. Again, Florida State got out-hit, I think, 9-2. They had more errors than hits. So they got to go play Boston College this weekend up in Chestnut Hill. When they play ranked teams, they look really good, especially when they play in Tallahassee. Otherwise, you know who always looks good, though? Lonnie and the softball program. They take on Florida tonight, 7 o'clock. So do be on the lookout for that. Pretty sure it's on ESPNU. So shout out to the worldwide leader for recognizing a game, if you will. So that's a wrap for us. We'll be back with one more show for you this week. Three, because it's the off season. For Corey, I'm Aslan. Thank you for listening to Wake Up War Chant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.